For this day, Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to assemble, Lord, despite what's going on. Lord, we just, it's always good to just come to the house of God and just be with your brothers and sisters and worship corporately. And we just thank you for the opportunity to do that. We thank you for helping us to understand your word and to get closer and closer to you and to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start today in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13. All right. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it reads, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" The title today is "Your Experience is a Result of Your Perception." Your experience is a result of your perception. I learned, I guess, maybe the past 10 years, just dealing with different people and personalities, God had to give me a stern lesson about perception. My thought was that if I always had good intentions, if I didn't mean any harm, if you took it a certain way and it made you feel a certain way, I didn't really care, 'cause I didn't mean it. You had to get yourself straight. You took it wrong. I think the first time I found out that that was not the way to be, I was going through marriage counseling. And the counselor said, "Well, Eric, it's not enough to have good intentions. It's not enough to not mean any harm." And he says, "But you have to be careful how what you're saying is perceived. How are your actions being perceived?" And I didn't argue, but I was thinking, what is it? It doesn't matter how a person feels. What matters is the truth. What matters is the reality of what I really meant. And they should be able to understand that. But I kept my mouth shut, and just throughout the years, God showed me that it does matter how people take you. It does matter, even whether it's right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent. You have to be careful how people perceive you. It's not enough to just say what you mean and mean what you say. That's great, but it matters how they take it as well. I don't know if anything remotely close to this has ever happened to you, but I remember I was at breakfast, and I would say something like, at the time my wife would say, "Well, are you going to eat any breakfast before you go to work? I'd say, I'm going to skip it. I'm just going to grab something on the way, or I'm just going to wait until lunch. And went to work, came home, and I noticed that something wasn't right. You know, she just didn't seem right. I said, is everything okay? We'll talk about it. Okay. And she said, I want to discuss how I feel like, you know, what you said today at breakfast when you said that you basically didn't need me anymore. I that just did something to me. That hurt me. And so I'm going back and I said, oh, man, I don't recall saying anything remotely close to that. Well, I had, you know, gotten up early to make breakfast, and I usually don't do that. But when you said that, you know, you were just going to, you know, eat later, that was to me that I don't have any place here. That was, you don't need me. You can do this all by yourself. And I'm thinking, at that time I wanted to stay married, so I had to be careful with my reply. But in my mind, I'm like, you got all of that from me saying I didn't want to eat breakfast? I learned quickly that in a relationship, perception, or someone's perception, is reality. As confident and as powerful as Jesus was, you wouldn't think of him being concerned with his image. You wouldn't think he would care all that much about what people thought. But he asked these questions. He said, who do these people say that I am? And they came up with all different answers. But the important thing is that when he asked Simon, he said, you're the Christ. And some of the others were true. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. But the important thing is Jesus was trying to get across and asking these questions. Is he's saying, the way you perceive me is going to dictate the experience that you have with me. If you continue to say he's a prophet, he's a teacher, there are going to be some things that you're going to miss out on. If you only know him as a healer, you're going to run up into a situation where you're not going to need a healing. That's not going to be what you're standing in need of. But you're not going to know what to do because in your brain, your perception of him is that he's a healer. So now that you're in a situation where healing is not the issue, you're not going to know what to do. Out of all of these answers that were given, Esaias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, John the Baptist, until Jesus got the right answer from Peter, he didn't say any of that stuff about being blessed. He said, oh, that is correct. You're blessed. Blessed are you because your perception will allow you to continue to have the experience with me that I want you to have. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9 says, For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This story with the centurion is a lesson about many things, but one of the lessons from the story is all about perception. And it starts very, very early in this story. It says that 5 says that he was entered into Capernaum, and unto him came a centurion beseeching him. And in 6, we start to see where a man's perception or a woman's perception determines their experience with Christ. The first cue is the third word. It says, 6 says, and saying, Lord. Now we're going kind of deeper into perception, into a, now there's a recognition of positioning. When he says, Lord, that means a lot. The centurion, if it's one thing that he understood, was what it means to be a master. He says, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. In verse 7, once Jesus made the proposition to come and heal him, he had done that before. A lot of people were Jesus, come to my house. My daughter's sick. Jesus, can you come here? My servant's sick. And he'd go. But this time was a little different. And calling on God and having him come to your aid, having him answer your prayers, that's a good experience to have. Because we talked about landmarks earlier today. It's good to be able to say, well, one day, you know, I was feeling sick last month. I prayed, God healed me. I'm totally delivered. I got a clean bill of health from a doctor. That's great. But even in God doing something for you, your perception is still going to determine your experience with Christ. So it goes a little further in 7. He said, you know what? Instead of you coming to my house, because of my perception, because of my background, because I know any time anyone is a master, anytime someone has servants, there isn't a choice in the matter. He says, when I say go, they go. I say come here, they come here. And being a master, I definitely recognize the ultimate master. I already know who you are. So my perception has put me on a higher trajectory. Instead of you coming to my house, because of my perception of who you are and knowing what happens when there is a hierarchy, what happens, you're not only my Lord, but I'm even talking about sickness. You're not only the Lord of my life, you're the Lord over sickness. Whatever you say goes. And I understand that. You ain't got to come to my house. Just speak the word. They have no choice but to obey whatever you say. Go to the book of John, chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." As far as she knows, there's nothing wrong with anything that she's saying. One thing I like about Christ is we see these examples over and over again in Scripture where he just really takes his time to teach someone something. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Then he says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Here again, we're dealing with perception. There's a reason the scriptures say we walk by faith, not by sight. So she's saying these things, and her first notion was Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And that's true. That's her reality. That is her perception. Why are you talking to me? Why are you asking anything of me? Then he talks about the living water. So the first thing she goes to is what she knows and her perception. Well, if you're talking about water, see, she doesn't get the living water part yet. But Christ is patient. Since we're talking about water, and we're at Jacob's well, you have to have something. You have to have a bucket. I've looked, and there's nothing in your hands that physically indicates that you're here to get any water. You have no bucket. And it's so far down that it's not like you can just reach up and scoop it in your hand. In 12, she says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." At first glance, in 15, it appears that she has it. She has moved away from the natural, what her eyes can see. And she's curious now. But just because you ask and just because you're curious doesn't mean you're ready to receive it. You would think just by asking, that would be the end of story. Mission accomplished. But Jesus still has a ways to go until he can get her to the point where she is ready to receive it. Jesus saith unto her, this is in 16, it says, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. You are correct. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that you have said truly. Verse 19 says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. One thing about this woman is in her dialogue with Christ, I can tell she is knowledgeable. She's intelligent. And even with knowledgeable and intelligent people, there's still only but so far you can go until your perceptions line up with the word of Christ. She says, and here's the history again, because she's bright. She's intelligent. She knows the right stuff. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. 22 is saying that Jesus says you don't even know who or what you're worshiping. You don't know what you're worshiping for. And he says in 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Yes. Skip to 25. Here's the knowledge is there. The perception is not there. The woman saith unto him, I know in my mind that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I know of him. I've heard the stories. But until that perception gets in line, she's not going to have an experience with Christ at all. At this point, she is looking at Christ, but not understanding that she's looking at Christ. Verse 26 says, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And at that point, her perception was where it needed to be, not her head knowledge, not even her faith, because she knew about worship. See, it's easy to have faith. You can have faith in anything. The bad thing about perception is that whether you perceive right or you perceive wrong, unfortunately, that is your reality. What you say it is, that's what it is. If he's a teacher, that's it. If he's this, if he's in front of you and you don't recognize him, that's that. That's why Christ said, if they don't receive you, keep moving. If they can't, and it's not even the word receive. I understand what that means, but really that has everything to do with perception. If they can't perceive that you are my disciples, if they've seen all these miracles, but they don't perceive that it is the power and love of God working through you to perform them, if they don't perceive that we are here to help, then it's nothing that we can do about that. We're going to have to move on. Because their perception won't allow them to have an experience with me.
Come on now.
I like how it's interesting that, Christ knew exactly what to do in order to change her perception. He says, well, it wasn't a fact of, oh, I'm going to expose her, I'm going to tell her business, I'm going to do all of this. He did what he needed to do so she could understand that, uh-oh, you're not just a regular person that I'm talking to. All of this living water stuff, this ain't normal. So she ran and said, look, this guy told me everything about me that I ever did. And that was enough. That was enough. Once her perception lined up, she was able to, of course, we know how the story goes. She did receive, and she did possess the gift of everlasting life. She did get the living water and then told others about it. And other people in the town believed as well. And they, it's funny, the people in the town said that we don't even believe just because you said so. We believe because we heard him ourselves. Amen. Go to Matthew 15 and 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, it says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this one is good because she beseeched him, but it says that he didn't answer. But he answered once the disciples got there, because a lot of times Christ gets like a 3-for-1 or a 12-for-1 special where he gets to teach everybody a lesson. He says again, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Which is odd because, of course, Jesus saw it. And you see again, even in the first exchange, the first thing she says, have mercy on me, O Lord. That's a perception thing. I tried to picture myself when I read this, asking somebody for mercy. And I said, God, I would never ask a mortal for mercy. I said, that doesn't even sound right. Now, I don't mind, of course, you know, I've asked people for forgiveness. I've apologized, but asking somebody for mercy is a whole different thing. We are in a democracy, and I use that term loosely. People who grew up in under a monarchy understand these terms a little bit more. You're right. You don't beg a coworker or beg a boss for mercy. You don't get on your knees and beseech him or her and ask for mercy. You may apologize, but that's not something we do. Asking him for mercy is a realization that she perceived that he had the authority to grant her mercy in the first place. Kings grant mercy. God grants mercy. She says, not only is she asking for mercy, she's calling him Lord, Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So after he says in 24, I'm not sent but to the lost house of to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then came she and worshipped him, saying, again, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs, which sounds extremely harsh. But then in 27, and she said, truth, Lord. And look at her, look at the strength of her perception of who he was. Not only was he Lord, not only was he in control, not only did he have authority over sickness, but then she says, but even the dogs eat from whose table? The master's table. That's a perception. Not a man's table, not a, you know, a friend's table, not a co-worker's table. It said the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Be it unto you according to your perception. She could have easily walked away. She could have easily given up. Because he said some things that on the surface seem not only harsh, but there was a, if you perceive it that way, there was a finality in what Jesus said. I'm not sent to you. What have I to do with you? He would tell people that. But her perception is what determined her experience with Christ. Mom, you were talking about how we just need to stay in there. We just need to stick it out. Sometimes you get to a point where you may not feel that you can defeat something. Sometimes the best you can do is outlast it. Sometimes it's not by your will or by your strength or by your might that you get past something. Sometimes it's just God's will saying that enough is enough and the time is up. They didn't run out of the fire, but God was like, that's done. Time is up. If you might be going through some things, I don't know. I don't know your struggles, but it's not enough just to have faith. It's not. But not only will your perception determine your experience with God and your trajectory in God, your perception, let me say how I can say this, your perception will dictate your actions. That's why it says faith without works is dead. Your perception is what determines your actions. When you realize who God is, and all of the things, not just a healer, not just a teacher, but all of the things that he said he was and how it applies to you, it shows in your actions. I get why she didn't give up, because her perception said, this is the man that I need to see. I'm in a desperate situation. I'm not a healer. My daughter is vexed with something that I don't even understand. But because I know who I'm talking to, I can't give up. This might be my daughter's only shot. Sometimes you don't really get who God is until you got nothing else going on, until it's your only shot, until you get in a very desperate place. Then you find out a whole lot of things about God that you may not have known. The scriptures say how Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. He said, you know, and hearing and having eyes, they still don't see. He said, seeing, they see not. He wasn't, of course, talking about natural vision. He was talking about perception, because they had, and it says, in hearing, they hear not. You can have, I mean, they had more head knowledge. They were scholars. I'm sure a lot of them were extremely intelligent and well-studied. But he says, how can a blind lead a blind person? How can a blind person lead a blind person? He says they'll both end up in the ditch. Physical sight is not the same as what you perceive. Physical hearing is not the same as what you can perceive and embrace and understand. I think that's it. Be careful who you say God is. Be careful what you perceive him to be. Take all of it. Take all of it. Whatever you read, if you see an example of God doing something in this word, if ever you read across something that he says he is, whether it's my banner, my salvation, my shield, my healer, my refuge, take all of it. Perceive all of it. Don't let Christ present himself right in front of your face and you see right past him. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for